good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asks Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not say? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anybody else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is on the way to meet you now. How many people know that God will take away your excuses? He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs that I have shown you. The word of the Lord. I want to just talk from the subject title just for a moment. Just for the moments, I need you to take some notes on today. Amen. And so I just want to teach rather through the subject title, Do It Anyway. Do it anyway. Say neighbor, turn to your neighbor, say neighbor. I know you got some doubts. But in 2024, do it anyway. Turn to another neighbor. Say neighbor. I know you've had some disappointments. I know you had some setbacks. I know you had some haters. But do it anyway. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. This is the precursor for the Exodus story. This is the precursor for the Exodus story. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by miraculous ways, and he used a leader named Moses, to do it. Now, if you read the rest of Exodus, you read the rest of Moses' life, it is in stark contrast to his start. As a matter of fact, if you read the rest of his life and the rest of his story, this man who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, who parted the Red Sea, who did miracles in the desert, who kept a nation of a million people together and moving towards the promised land, is in stark contrast to the start of his story. How many people know that no matter how your story got started, that God can do something still with you? Come on, somebody. Amen to that. And so this sermon series, or this teaching today, rather, this sermon series, I wanted to start this with the title of Do It Anyway. Do It Anyway. Because the truth of the matter is that right now you may have an excuse not to do what God has put into your heart, what God wants you to do, or what you feel like God is calling you to do, whether it be a dream, whether it be being more committed to him, whether it be more committed to the ministry of him, whether it be stepping out on faith and doing something new, whether it be going back to school, whatever it may be that God has put on your heart, all of us can come up with some excuses. Isn't that right? Amen to that? Because all of us have had disappointments. All of us have been through some things. So all of us have a good excuse. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ain't the only one that has an excuse. Amen. I got an excuse too. You got an excuse. We all got excuses. But excuses does not matter when the power of God is on your side. And so this sermon series of Living Fearless, it goes back to the Bible study teaching series that we did. We anchored this scripture, we anchored this teaching in 2 Corinthians 2:17. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. The whole point of that whole Bible study series is that if you have fear, it did not come from God. Now watch this, y'all. The Bible did not say that you won't have feelings of fear. The Bible did not say that you will not have emotions of fear. It does not say that you will not have anxiety. It did not say that you will not have precautions. The Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear. So what does that mean? That means that no matter how you feel, you cannot allow fear to trap you. No matter how you feel about a situation, if God has told us to step into the next season, if he's told you to do something, you cannot allow fear to hold you hostage. Do I have a witness in this house? Anybody got something in 2024 that you wrote down on your goal sheet and you know that God has told you to do it? You know that God has committed you to do it? And you said, this is the year that I'm not going to allow the spirit of fear to hold me back. I may feel a certain way. I may even think a certain way. But I do not have the spirit of fear. Only thing I have is love, power, and self-discipline. Do I have a witness in this house? So watch this. God is saying to Moses, I don't care about your excuses. Do it anyway. Because I have chosen you before the foundation of the earth to get this job done. Anybody believe and know that you have been chosen to get something done in the earth realm? That God has called you to be an answer to somebody else's problem? Do I have a witness? Anybody got faith on this first Sunday of January to say that I am the answer? Come on, somebody. Watch this. He says, so God not give us a spirit of fear, but of timidity, of power, and of self-discipline. This spirit of fear, it becomes our identity when we allow fear to take over our decision-making, to take over our actions, to take over how we move. We allow it to literally become our identity. And watch this. You cannot out-obey your identity. Because if you do not change your identity, if you do not have the right identity, you will always default to your identity. I wish I had some amens. Y'all gonna make it hard for me to preach today. Okay, thank you. Somebody over there who gave me amen. Thank you. Pac-Man Jones, coming out of college, he was an NFL quarterback. Everybody thought that he was going to be the next Deion Sanders. He ran a 4.2940-yard dash. Everybody thought that he was going to be the next Deion Sanders. And even though he had a good NFL career, I think he made one or two Pro Bowls, but he never lived up to his potential. He never lived up to his potential because, if you know the story of Pac-Man Jones kept getting in trouble. He kept going in and out of jail. He kept getting suspended for drugs. And so he only played six full seasons in his 11-year career because he kept getting in and out of trouble. And I was watching an interview with Pac-Man Jones, and they were asking him about his past. And he says, I always saw, no matter how much money I made, no matter where I was in the NFL, I always saw myself as that boy in the hood. And so what am I saying? He can take him out of the hood. Come on, you can put him on the NFL field, but his identity didn't change. And because his identity did not change, he lived up to his identity, not his position and opportunity. Man, y'all. I'm making it hard for you to preach. Okay, let me get personal. Okay, we all go through some stuff. I went through some stuff, and I was telling my mom about it. And any good son, you don't tell your mom your problems unless you really got to tell her. And so I told her about something that I was going through two or three years ago. And I told her something I was going through, and she did not try to console me. She did not make any excuses for me. She didn't try to, she didn't say any bad thing about the persons and the people that I was having problems with. The only thing she said was, remember your last name. Good. Only thing she said was, remember that you are Robinson. In other words, anything you need is in your identity. Remember who your mama is. Remember who your daddy is. Come on, somebody. Remember who your grandmama is. Remember where you came from. Remember who you are. And once you remember who you are, that can take you to where you need to go. Priest, pastor, I'm going to be. Anybody in here in 2024, you're going to make the decision to remember who you are. When fear comes upon you, you're going to remember that you are a child of God. You're going to remember that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're going to remember that you have a destiny. You're going to remember that He is a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you have. You're going to remember that greater is He who is in me than he that is in me. Anybody here that you're remembering who you are, you're going through something right now, but you can testify and say that I am a child of God. My daddy does own a cattle on a thousand hills, and I will make it through this, not because of me, but because of who I am. So he says, watch this. In this season, you're going to have to just do it anyway. Why? Because of your identity. Your identity determines your relationship with God. Your identity determines how you see yourself. Your identity determines, watch this, your assignment. Your identity determines your boundaries, what you accept, what you don't accept. Your identity determines your habits, y'all. Some of us don't change our habits, not because we're not working hard to change our habits, but because we have not changed our identity. Once you change your identity to believe that you are who God says you are, it's easier to change our daily schedule and our daily habits. Identity determines what I believe about myself and about others. Identity determines how I treat others. My identity determines my assignment, my identity determines my assignment. Do it. Come on, somebody say, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Watch this. Number one, you got to do it anyway, even though you may have had a rough start. Moses had a rough start. At the time that Moses was born, there was a decree in Egypt to kill all of the male children. And so when his mother had him, y'all know the story. She put him in a basket and floated him on the Nile River because there was a decree to kill all of the Hebrew children. Talk about a rough start. But y'all, God had a plan for Moses. And your beginning, may not have been ideal, but if God has a plan for you, it does not matter how you started. Do it anyway. Some of us have been using our past as an excuse, but y'all, if God brought you out of that, don't you know that He has something greater and better for you? Anybody can believe that because I'm still living, because He gave breath in my body, and because He brought me out of that, He got to have something else for me in my life. He got to have an assignment for me to accomplish in my life. Your beginning may not be ideal, but you can no longer use it as an excuse. Come on, somebody say, do it anyway. Come on, I got 5 minutes. Come on, say, do it anyway. Do it anyway, even though you had a rough start. Do it anyway. And then number two. Do it anyway, even though you've made some mistakes. Come on, somebody say, do it anyway. Even though you've made some mistakes. Now, I'm not talking about the mistakes that other people made that offended you. I'm talking about the mistakes that you showed up made. I'm talking about the stuff that you did. I'm talking about the setbacks that you set your own self back from. I'm talking about the mistakes that anybody other than me that made some mistakes. So watch this. He says, I need you to understand, Moses, I need you to do it even though you have made some mistakes. I remember Moses, man. Moses grew up, then one day he always understood that he was part Hebrew. He was raised in an Egyptian home. He was raised by the princess of Egypt. And so one day he walks by, he sees a fellow Egyptian guard, and this fellow Egyptian was being treated a Hebrew harshly. He was beating the Hebrew. And Moses had an anger issue. So instead of diplomatically figuring out the situation, he killed the Egyptian. Imagine that. He made a mistake. Come on, somebody. He had to leave Egypt because he made a mistake. He was alienated because he made a mistake. Now, you may not kill somebody, but you sure enough have made some mistakes. Amen to that. I'm looking at all y'all. Y'all done made some mistakes. Y'all look good. Y'all look pretty and handsome and all that good stuff. But you done made some mistakes. Do I have a witness in this house? Anybody else will be true, but I made some mistakes. But I believe that God's going to do something with me anyway. Watch this. The enemy will try to hold you hostage to your past. Not only will the enemy try to hold you hostage to your past, but other people will try to hold you hostage to your past. But in 2024, you cannot allow the enemy to hold you hostage to past mistakes. Y'all, the devil is defined in the Bible as the accuser. But thank God we have a justifier. And every time he tries to accuse me and you, we have a justifier. We have a lawyer by the name of Jesus Christ who always reminds God of the blood that he shed for us. And every time he tries to come up with something that we did, he always reminds us of what he already has done. And because I got blood on my life, come on somebody, I can do it anyway. Because I got blood on my life, I can bounce back from some mistakes. Because I got blood on my life, you might as well just try it again and do it again. I know you made some mistakes, but you are not a mistake because you got blood over your life and on your. Do I have a witness in this house? Somebody ought to shout, do it anyway. Even though I made some mistakes, I gotta do it anyway. I'll give you like 2 minutes and then we done. Number one is, even though you had a rough start, even though you made some mistakes, and then here's another reason why you should do it anyway, is because you already have the rough material to get it done. In other words, God has already made you the person that needs to get the job done. Y'all, I know Moses messed up. But Moses always had the rough material of a deliverer. Even when he was making mistakes, he was practicing deliverance. Man, y'all missing this. He came upon a Hebrew. He was being oppressed. And he killed this Egyptian who was oppressing this Hebrew. And then he was alienated. He had to leave Egypt, and then one day he came upon Midianites, and they were some young ladies and and they were being harassed and robbed, and he beat them up and delivered these young women. Then he married Zipporah. Y'all, his history was a history of a deliverer. Even though he didn't have it all together, he had a history of deliverance. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all the ones that y'all come to, everybody come to the call. Come on. Some of y'all the ones in y'all family, y'all the ones that everybody comes to get help. You already got the ingredients of what God is going to do in your life. You have already started what he's going to finish. Come on, somebody. You got to look on the inside and what is God doing with me? Because Moses always had the rough material. It's always there. It was always been there, y'all. Some of y'all guys call you to be a pioneer. Stop waiting on people who ain't pioneers before you pioneer. There's a reason why they can't see what you see. Come on, somebody. You are theirs to be able to lead them to, because they can't see what you can see, because you are you're the visionary in your family. You're the visionary on the job. You are the one to go first. And so God has already put it on the inside. Is it? Made the reason why they can't see it and you can't see it is because God didn't allow them to see it, because he's calling you to be the one who does see it. And so he says, you got the rough material. Anybody can praise God for that. Amen. Y'all rough crowd today. Amen. But it's all good. I'm going to do my job anyway. Watch this. And then here's number four. It's to do it anyway, no matter where you are right now. The truth be told, some of us are not where we thought that we would be. Truth be told, some of us are not where we want to be. But how many people believe that right now I'm going to do it regardless of where I'm at? Okay, watch this. Chapter 3. God appears to Moses in a burning bush. He appears to Moses in a burning bush. Moses at this time, y'all, He's on the backside of a desert. There's no crowds. As a matter of fact, he had to go deliver a people that didn't even know him. The Hebrews didn't know Moses. You know, and so he came, I need you to follow me out of bondage. We don't know you. Who your mama them? We don't know you. But this is where he was at, y'all. He's at this time 80 years old. He's not 30. He's not 20. He's not 40. He's not even 50. He's not even 60. He's not 70. He's 80 years old, right? But God called. Come on, somebody. So that right there ought to just praise God that as I get older, I ought to get better. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Praise God for us who got a little age on ourselves. I'm getting better as we get older. Come on, somebody. So he's 80 years old. He's called to deliver people that don't know him. He's on the backside of the desert, tending sheep. Now, wait a minute. He's not even tending his own sheep. He's tending his father-in-law's sheep. You would think by 80, he would at least have his own sheep. Come on, can we just keep it real? Like, by 80, come on, at least give me like a spotted sheep. But regardless of where he was in life, God called him. He didn't even own his own sheep. He's 80 years old, living under the roof of his father-in-law, and God called him. Amen to that. But wherever you are, God can call you from wherever you are. Anybody, you right now, you're not in the situation that you thought you were going to be in. You're not now. You're maybe not in the situation that you want to be in, but you are still willing to respond to the call of God and say, I'm going to do it now because he has greater for me. Then the other thing is that divine assignments come with divine resources. Divine assignments come with divine resources. In other words, God don't never let you do his business without making miracles happen. He doesn't never allow you to do the stuff without him doing something. Watch what it says. It says in chapter number 4, Moses began to protest, and then God says, take that shepherd's staff, throw it down on the ground. So Moses threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out, grab his tail. So Moses reached out, grabbed the tail, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. That was a sign that I'm going to be with you. You may not be all that. Come on, somebody. But I'm going to provide everything that you need. Then the Lord said to Moses, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. He says, now put your hand back into your cloak. The Lord said, Moses put his hand back in the cloak, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. That was a sign from God that God was going to make stuff happen on his behalf. Okay. I don't know if God ever did that in your life. But I'm looking at some people that in 2023, God did some stuff in your life. And you can testify and read the story of Moses. But does anybody have a testimony in 2023 that God did some miracles in my life to show me that he was still with me? Anybody got a health testimony and said, I got a bad doctor's report, but sooner or later, God healed me, and I'm here today because God healed me. Anybody got a testimony that say, I didn't know how I was going to make it, but he provided every one of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Anybody knew that the door was going to be, it looked like the door was closed, but in the nick of time, God opened the door and made a way out of no way, and that was a sign that I'm going to be with you, that I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you.
You and I got praise report in 2024 and saying not only Moses has some miracles, but I got some miracles that I can testify in my life that God made a way out of no way. Somebody ought to just praise God. I know you're looking at your neighbor, they're not praising, but you ought to just praise Him for all the miracles in 2023 and 2024. And you ought to look back and say, God, if you did it in 2023, I know you're going to do it in 2024. As a matter of fact, you did it in 22, you did it in 21. You did it in 20, you did it in 19, 18, 17, 14, all them teens, you get it, and you're going to do it again. That was a sign that He was with you, that He had divine resources to complete a divine assignment. Then Moses said, but God, you know that I can't talk. You know that I got a stuttering problem, as if God didn't know that he couldn't talk. He says, Moses says, God says, you do know that I'm the one who made your mouth. You do know that I'm the one who gave you the ability to speak and the ability to hear. And you do know that I'm the one who allows you to speak. Y'all, when God calls us into something, He pushes us into something. He gives us something to do, and He gives us a dream, He gives us something to be. He already know your shortcomings. Come on, somebody. He already know your shortcomings. So don't let yourself or anybody else keep reminding you of your shortcomings. You know, it's funny, sometimes people will say stuff or whatever to me or whatever. I'm like, I already know that. But God used me anyway. Come on, that ought to be your testimony. Come on, somebody. I already know that, but God will use me anyway. I already know where I came from, but God will use me anyway. I already know my mistakes and my shortcomings, but God will use me anyway. Man, y'all hard today, man. I hope y'all give me some amens next week. Maybe this is not your sermon. Maybe this is not your sermon. But here's the thing. Maybe that's not it. Maybe that's it. But maybe you are in a situation where you can't go backwards, and so you got to go forward. And so you're in a situation where you say, like, God, I'm going to do it anyway. The dream you put in my heart, I'm going to do it anyway. Getting back in church, I'm going to do it anyway. Getting into your word, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm scared, but I'm not going to allow my feelings to overcome the trust that I have for you. I'm going to do it anyway. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. Help me, Holy Ghost. Preach your word. Obeying your word, I'm going to do it anyway. Getting to where God has me to be, I'm going to do it anyway. Overcoming the doubts, I'm going to do it anyway. Overcoming my anxiety, I'm going to do it anyway. Overcoming a season of depression, that don't matter, I'm going to do it anyway. Some of you ought to have a so what praise. So what, I don't feel it. So what, I'm sick. Come on. So what, I'm broken. So what, I'm lonely. So what, I've been cast out. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it whether I feel it. I'm going to do it whether I don't feel it. It don't matter what I feel. If God said it, that settles it. I'm going to move out and be whatever God has called me to be. Do I have a witness in this house? And y'all are hyped about this. Anybody God has told you something that's going to happen in 2024, and you say come hell or high water, it's going to happen. I'm going to do it anyway. It don't matter what I've been through. It don't matter how it feels. It don't matter how it looks. It's going to happen. Because when I look back over my life, I'm here today because I did it anyway. Anybody hyped about that? Anybody can celebrate God about that? Not that what God going to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. Y'all, watch this. It was these lepers in 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 7. They were outside the city gates, and they were surrounded by the Syrian camp. Their enemies on the other way. And so they could not go back into the city camp because lepers had to be outside of the city. And they could not go forward because if they go forward, then the Syrians will probably kill them. So they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. Anybody ever been stuck between a rock and a hard place? But they made up in their mind. They said, we can't go backwards. And if we go forward, something may happen to us. But we cannot, come on somebody, stay here. And so they moved into the Syrian camp. And when they moved into the Syrian camp, God took care of what they was already murmuring about. He had wiped out the Syrian army and they had fled the camp and they were able to prosper and get the gold and get the treasures in the Syrian camp because God already took care of what they was worrying about. Is there anybody that praise God and you know that while you are hearing what's next, God is already in the next taking care of what needs to be taken care of and working out what needs to be working out. Is there anybody knows that all things will work together for my good, not just last year, but this year again? Not me if you want to, but it's going to work to my good. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody can testify and say that it will work out to my good? Come on, stand to your feet. I need somebody to disagree with me and say, I'm going to do it anyway. I need you to think about what God told you to do, and I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to move forward in prayer. I'm going to move forward in devotion. I'm going to move forward in commitment to God. Come on, somebody just praise and say, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. Come on, shout in this place. I'm doing it anyway. I may feel a certain way, but I'm going to do it anyway. I may have some anxiety about it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I may not have the help that I want to have, but I'm going to do it anyway. I may not have all the connections that I want, but I'm going to do it anyway. I may not have the friends and all the friends that I think that I need, but I'm going to do it. Anybody going to agree and declare that I'm going to do it anyway in this house? Come on, I just need five of y'all today. If I can just get five of y'all to believe the word of the Lord and get ready for what God has for you and say, I'm going to do it. Anybody can just shout with your mouth. Do it anyway. Come on, say, do it anyway. Say, I'm going to do it. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I'm doing it anyway. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Listen, here's the key, here's the key. 2 Timothy 1 7 says that God not give us a spirit of fear. Did not say that you will not feel fear. Did not say that you may not have certain emotions, certain doubts. But y'all, obedience becomes real obedience when we go against our flesh. Go against our flesh. Trust God in his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you got to trust what you hear out of the word of God more than what you feel in your flesh. So today got to be a day that I say I'm going to do it anyway. I don't know what your do it anyway is. Maybe it's I need to trust God with the tithe. I need to trust God that he's going to provide. I need to trust God that he's going to open the door. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to take the first step. I'm going to do the next thing that God tells me to do. Do the next thing that God tells me to do. Y'all, when we go into like the little stores and you know, Myers and Walmart and those different places to get what we need, we walk up to that store, that location, that door, and all the doors are shut. And we don't stop walking. We keep on walking. As we walk up to that door is shut. When we get to a certain distance, all of a sudden that door opens. Door has been programmed to open when you get to a certain place. Y'all, right now, there may be some doors that look like you got to work for God. The door's going to open. But you're looking at the situation, looking, so I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this door is going to open. But if you just keep on walking by faith and not by sight, you just keep on walking by faith and not by sight. When you do it, to the destined time and the destined location, the door has to open because it's destined to open for you and for me when we obey him. Amen to that. Just keep on walking. Keep on walking by faith. It may get hard, but keep on walking. You got to do it. You got to make up your mind that this is the year that I'm going to do it anyway. There's going to maybe some days in 2024, and you want to open that Bible, and you're going to read that word. God's going to speak to you clearly, and you're going to get excited. And everything's going to be the up and up. There might be some days in 2024
And you still don't have to open up that mind. Trust that word. Tears rolling down your face. But you say, Lord, I'm doing it anyway. I trust you anyway. And I trust you anyhow. This year, you got to clear the plan. I'm going to have a do it anyway faith. And I'm going to see what God has for me on the other side. Father in heaven, I say thank you today. There's somebody today that needs to know you as their Savior. The pardon of their sins. I pray they would accept you today as their personal Savior. I pray, Father God, that they would accept you into your family. They would come into your family. And right now, Father, they may have excuses like Moses. I've done this. I've done that. I did this. I did that. But regardless of what they've done, regardless of what we've done, let them know that you know all of that. Let them know that you are waiting for them. That you said in your word, come to me, all you have labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. So today we ask that you would prick their hearts to move into that today. Father God, there's somebody today that needs to recommit their life back to you. There's somebody today that needs to recommit their heart back to you. But I pray, Father God, that they would do that today. There's somebody today that they've been coming to reach, or they've been watching reach, but they need to make that decision today. This will be the day they will get connected to the church. They will stay and be connected to the family of God. Father, we pray they will make that decision to do it today. Lord, we love you today. We praise you, God. Give you glory today. And we thank you today. Father God, this week when things get rough, this week, Father God, when doubt comes in, this week when somebody calls the people of God out of their name, Father, I pray that they remember their name. They are a chosen priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. And they will remember who they are. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you today. We praise you. We glorify your name. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Give us glory. Amen. Listen, if you need to make a decision for Jesus today, you need to recommit your life back to Jesus. If you need to join this church, if God's calling you to join this church,